pants on today, Mike.
I was like, yeah, if I took them off, you'd make this couch. This is the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast with your hosts, Andrew Laird, Mike Gottlieb. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the midweek episode of RotoWire Fantasy Soccer. This is a special midweek because there are games in the midweek, and depending on what game format you have, there's even a couple teams that play twice this week. So definitely some fun stuff, to little quirks to look for this week here. I have always with me my friend Andrew Laird. Hi, Andrew. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. Double game week.
Well, for some, not for all, unfortunately. Yeah. We'll jump right into it now, actually, and we're gonna do a little bit of weekly stuff, and then we'll get to our daily dose a little bit later, and then we'll also try to do a little more rest of the season stuff, because there's only 10 or 11 games left, depending on which team you support, or possibly 12 for one team. I'm not sure. Anyway, but it's in that range, so we're getting to the final stretch of the season, the final third, if you will. So we'll start on the Tuesday games. Tuesday 2:45. We have Hull City at home against Sunderland. Hull, who have been hot recently, but they've been cooled. They were cooled off last week by Stoke, losing 1-0, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But they're at home again this week. They play Sunderland. And who would you rather have this week and the rest of the season? Dominic Ndoye or Jermaine Defoe?
Ugh. I will probably go with Ndoye because I feel like we know what we have with Defoe.
This week, for this week or for the season?
Both.
Okay.
It turns out that Joy was rested last weekend because he went back home to kind of figure out some things out after his recent transfer. And given the long travel, Steve Bruce decided to give him a little bit of a rest. So that's the reason why he was rested.
For logistical reasons?
Yeah, basically. There was no injury and he's not getting benched. Jelovic, who he's played well with together, has he was hurt, but it sounds like it's not a big deal. So I think the two of them will probably start up front together this week, and as long as they're fit together. And I like that combination more than Defoe either on his own or Defoe and Wickham. Defoe's just not the kind of striker that you can build a team around, and he's probably not half of a strike force that you can build around, which is why Sunderland has been struggling so much this season, whereas I think Joy has much better upside. So I have him certainly over Defoe for this week and the rest of the season.
And is there any update to any news on Mo Diame?
Yeah, he was supposed to be back last weekend, actually, and he basically got hit on his knee. That is the issue during training, so they pushed him back. So I think he's going to come back the 14th, so game week 29. So hopefully he's back then, because this team is so much better with him. And certainly in daily formats, Hull, he's so much cheaper. Yes, Hull.
Yeah. So you like Ndoye, and we know you like Mo Diame. So you basically like Hull's options better rest of the season than Sunderland's?
Yeah.
What about defensively, like McGregor or Pantilimon?
I don't really like either of them. I don't think either of these teams particularly. Yeah, I would prefer to pass. I have more confidence that Hull can win more games than Sunderland, and we're seeing wins as a goalie stat in a lot more games now. So I think McGregor has more upside than Pantilimon.
All right, and any offensive sleepers that you can think of, like a Connor Wickham mention, or
no? I'm staying away from Connor Wickham comfortably. I like Jelovic. He's actually not nearly as expensive as a lot of the other strikers that play as much as he does. So I think he's a decent option. It's really too bad how Abel Hernandez has basically fallen off the face of the earth, but there's nothing there. And I guess we should mention that Adam Johnson won't be playing for a little bit.
You want to go into that little bit of news, or?
Let's just say he was arrested for an inappropriate relationship with a minor. We'll keep it that way.
And on that note, we'll move on to Southampton at home against Crystal Palace. Mm. So this looks like a little bit of a mismatch on paper, but I really like what Crystal Palace is doing, and especially in the midfield. We saw them in their entirety, all four fantasy-relevant players starting last week, and they all looked really good. So What are your thoughts on this game? You know, just go through the gamut, offensively, midfield, and defense. So first of all, is there any defensive option you would take in this game or no?
No.
Okay. So let's go to the midfield. Like, so we talk about, you know, Sadio Mane before. We talked about James Ward-Prowse before, Elia, or the Crystal Palace array of Saha, Punchin, Jedinak, maybe, Bolasie. What do you like? What do you don't like here?
I like them all. It's a little bit of two teams going in the opposite direction. Crystal Palace looks like they absolutely nailed it hiring Pardew, who's gotten so much out of this team. There was so much talk before last weekend's match about his decision to start Glenn Murray up front instead of Dwight Gayle, and Murray was responsible for two goals, one of which I think will probably be taken away. I don't even know if it has or not, but.
The dubious goal committee hasn't met yet.
Yeah, but I think
hard to get them all in the same room. Being so dubious.
I think, and you know, it was a stroke of genius. He then picked up a red card, so he'll be out. But that the biggest difference here, I think Southampton has more talent in their midfield, but they don't all play together, and I think that almost tips them as a unit. I think Crystal Palace's is better, but individually.
Yeah, I didn't even mention Dusan Tadic.
I was just about to say Tadic seems to have gotten his starting job back after they went a little cold, although they haven't really busted out of it yet. But I think, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think most people would agree that in terms of talent, if you have accumulated talent of Tadic, Mane, Elia, Ward-Prowse, and I feel like I'm missing Sonny Mane, although he's a forward in some games. I think that they're better than Bolasie, Jedinak, Punchin, and Zaha, but the latter four are playing well together. And so I think
especially Punchin, who had three assists last week.
Yep. Punchin looks great. And although, like I said, I think he might lose one of those assists if Murray loses a goal. But anyway, I think they're all great fantasy options, and I'm just not sure Southampton is going to be able to keep them in, which means they're going to have to score, and that's been a big issue recently.
So, you know, it looks like Dwight Gayle is going to have to start by default for Palace.
Probably.
So, Dwight Gayle in an offense that's firing well, or Graziano Pelle who can't buy a goal? Obviously, I think for the rest of the season you'd rather have Pelle, but
yeah,
this week.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to end up going down with the Pelé ship, but because he's kind of, if anybody watched Arsenal Monaco last week with the way Olivier Giroud kept getting shots and just couldn't get any of them on target, that's how Pelé has looked for about a month and a half, and it's kind of amazing how they're keeping him in there. But you know, he's big enough that he kind of holds up play there. That, you know, he's a tactical benefit, even if he's not scoring. So I think he still gets plenty of opportunities, and I'm just not sure Gayle will get them, even this week.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And would you take any of the Southampton defense here? I think you said no earlier.
Yeah, I would probably stay away.
Even though Southampton at home, they've been one of the best defensive teams.
Yeah, I'm the Crystal Palace attack just looks so good that in terms of a clean sheet, I just don't think it's there. I wouldn't be surprised if they only scored one. And like we said, where there are plenty of games where you get that. And I have confidence at Southampton. Well, maybe not confidence, but I could see Southampton scoring one or two. And if it's two, then they get a win. And that makes Forster pretty enticing.
So over under on 2.5. For this, you'd go under?
I would probably go under.
I think I would as well. And for Hull and Sunderland, I'm assuming you go under 2.5 as well?
I think I would go under zero.
So, yeah. They're going to give goals back.
Yeah.
So it looks like not a lot of goals so far this week here, but we'll move on to Aston Villa at home against West Brom, two teams that tend to not want to score either.
Yeah.
So it doesn't look like there'll be three goals in this one either. Do you think there'll be goals on both sides? One side, no sides?
I'm curious how West Brom will score, because it looks like Berahino might miss out. In fact, he and Brownie Day are very doubtful to play after picking up injuries last weekend. And I'm not sure how they score other than those two guys. I mean, Callum McManaman theoretically could start up front, and they could you know, they could move other guys out of position to essentially build a strike force. Anichebe's out too. Yeah. So they just don't have guys who can score goals. And that's not necessarily a bad thing for Tony Pulis, but, you know.
Who knows? Maybe he'll sign a Peter Crouch lookalike off the street.
Yeah. I don't know how they should. You know, I think Aston Villa has better offensive options, but I'm not sure they're good enough to break through a Pulis defense that knows it can't score, so they have to get their point.
They're going to work very hard on the road. I'm sure they're not going to set up very offensively.
Right.
And so the thing that can beat that for me is speed,
yeah.
And that would mean Gavi Agman-Lahore.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any hope, you think? Because everyone knows he's going to be cheap, especially with Carlos Heel, who's able to potentially unlock teams. Is he going to be back?
Heel?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's definitely going to be back. In fact, I think he may have played this past weekend.
Yeah.
But so you have those two, Benteke, Scott Sinclair even, but...
Yeah, Benteke not very quick.
No, well, no.
Tried that overhead volley that came up a little short.
Yeah,
but
he loves those moves, but... Yeah, I don't know. I struggle to see where, you know, where they do it. And I guess it could be on the counterattack, but that almost means that West Brom has to attack, and I'm not sure where they're going to do that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. So
hope you had a case on that phone.
Yeah, it was worse than that. It was my cat falling to the ground. But, you know.
No case on the cat?
No case on the cats. But they are adorable. Mm. You can see them on the internet anytime you want. But we'll move on that note to the Wednesday games. We have Manchester City are at home against Leicester City. Mm-hmm. So Manchester City, how many lives do they have left, speaking of cats? In the Premier League race, they really missed an opportunity on Saturday to, you know, put some pressure on Chelsea, and they fell to Liverpool. Mm-hmm. Is it a bad time to be Leicester City, or is it a bad time to be Man City?
I think it's a bad time to be Leicester City. I don't think there's any way that Man City blows this one. I think they absolutely destroy them, actually.
And for Man City, I mean, do you see, let's say 2.5 over under? Do you think it gets to 3?
Yeah, I do.
Do you think there are goals on both sides?
No, I don't.
Ooh, so let's talk about the Man City attack here. Yep. Is it just Sergio Aguero, or is it?
Yeah, I'm going Aguero. I think they'll stay with Dzeko because they've played pretty well together. So I don't think there's any reason to mess that up bringing Bonny on, at least to start. Silva's playing really, really well. I tweeted out this past weekend.
Well, I can tell you why. I can tell you why that they'll sit Dzeko down. They're not winning.
Well, they thrashed Newcastle with him starting.
Yeah.
And he's the one who scored against Liverpool.
It's true.
So
it's true.
You know, he's got goals in back-to-back games. So I think he's perfectly fine starting up there. But yeah, I tweeted out this weekend that I feel like Sergio Aguero and David Silva link up together as if they've been playing together since they were 5. And it's just I really struggle to find a set of teammates in the Premier League that play off each other so well than those two.
Yeah. If Silva can find those pockets of space, then yeah.
Yeah.
And he'll find more of them because Yaya Toure is back.
I was just about to say that. Yeah. He's looked a little, he seems to be playing more of the holding midfield than we come to expect. But I feel like every time I say, I think he's starting to struggle or he's tired, he, you know, bags two. So I'm done sleeping on Yaya Toure, even though he looks like he's sleeping sometimes.
Yeah, just him and Wayne Rooney. You've just given up trying to predict what they're going to do, right?
Yep. But Rooney was a little bit of a different situation. We can get into that in a second. But
yeah, we certainly can. In fact, we can get into it now because Man City are on the road. They play against Newcastle, the team United. Man United play against Newcastle, the team that Man City crushed 5-0 2 weeks ago. Man United, we'll just get right into Rooney. Rooney scoring twice last week. What do you think about him? Is he back?
Yeah. Well, he's figuratively and literally back. He's back in his striking position that we all knew he could play and should have been playing. And it helped that RVP was, you know, he's up there because RVP is out with the ankle injury. And with Van Persie out, he also got the penalty. So that's the one that broke him through. But yeah, he absolutely, this is where he should be playing. And so we always said if he moved back, we would play him. He moved back, we played him, and we all won.
That's true. Everybody wins.
Except Falcao.
Except for Falcao. I was just about to go there. And I wrote about this for, I don't know if it's posted on the website yet, but I did write that Angel Di Maria has not scored in 14 games in my latest ball watching. I mean, he's gotten some assists, but he's not scoring. Is this move further back on the pitch going to help him? Or?
I think so. I mean, this is where we saw the production from. What's weird is that he doesn't score a lot. Like, he's not a dominant goal-scoring midfielder. Like, he's more of a distributor. And I don't think anybody expected him to come in and score 20 goals. But I think, you know, 10 to 15 assists was absolutely a reasonable expectation given how much they paid for him. And now that he's playing further back where he's more comfortable, and now he's sending passes to Falcao and Rooney, I think he is primed to break out. I say that after he got benched at halftime of last weekend's match because he was playing so poorly. But I also, I believe we talked about this, although it might've been somebody else, that if they don't finish in the top four, I think he's gone in the summer.
Oh yeah. I believe I brought that up with you, that Di Maria should force himself out.
Yeah.
Same with Falcao, by the way.
Yeah. I think Falcao is playing himself out.
That's true. But that's why United might be spending another $200 million next summer, because they don't have to pay those two guys.
Right.
But definitely interesting stuff, though.
Is PSG the only place he can go? Like, literally, is it the only place he can go?
No, not the only place. I mean,
who else? I mean, they paid almost £60 million for him.
I mean, so
they're not going to sell him for 30.
Someone like Juventus. Might,
they won't pay that much.
Because they'll have Pogba money, potentially.
Yeah, I don't think that they would pay that much. Yeah. But I guess if they sold Pogba for 100, they could sell. They could get Di Maria. That's a good point. Yeah.
So that would be the you're right. If I was a betting man, I would put the money down on PSG.
Yeah.
But
like Madrid's not taking him back. He's not going to Barca. United's not going to sell him to City. Though they would take him in a second.
They probably would. Chelsea, same thing.
Yep.
I don't think Chelsea would take him anyway.
I don't think Chelsea would pay 60 for him.
I don't think Mourinho wants him again.
Yeah. I don't know. But
He's definitely on an island right now, and you don't really know what to do with him.
Yeah.
And it's considering how much you have to pay for him in this and how much in fantasy and how much Manchester United paid for him in real life, you have to say he's been quite a disappointment, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Certainly in season-long games. I mean, I think he was the most expensive player coming into the season at midfield. If not, he was in the top three probably with Hazard and Yaya Toure. So that's definitely not the return you're getting. And yeah, he continues to be, near the top of the list for daily games too.
Yeah.
So do you play Newcastle this week?
I was just about to ask you. I mean, Newcastle is not a sexy option, nope. But they have two players that have very impressive stats.
Yeah, they do.
I'll give them. Daryl Janmaat, second among defenders in assists. Mm-hmm. And Papiss Demba Cisse is number one in goals per 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's for everybody, including Aguero.
Yeah. And he's finally fit and playing. He scored last weekend. So. Yeah.
And it looks like John Carver, I also wrote this as well in my article this week, but John Carver looks like he's not afraid of his knee injury, he being Cisse's.
Mm-hmm.
So if he starts playing 90 minutes, and he I don't think he'll continue his nearly one goal per 90 minute pace, but even if it's, you know, if it drops down to 0.75, or that's still really good for the price you're probably going to have to pay for him.
Yeah. I like it a lot, and I'm not convinced that Manchester United can keep them out. I would have no problem playing either of those guys.
Yeah. Yeah. It's certainly, especially if you get Daryl Janmaat to Papiss Cisse,
exactly.
Just like last week.
Exactly.
It could happen again.
Well, what's funny is we'll talk about literally two guys from this game that you and I were talking about first thing Saturday morning, when I said that I had chosen Cisse over Rooney in Mondo goal. They were around the same price, and I said I chose him after that. And then when I saw how United was lining up, I switched them back. I went with Rooney instead of Cisse, and they both scored. So it's like, clearly I should have taken Cisse over Falcao.
Yeah, but Rooney did score twice.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was just that's either where Cisse has climbed or where Rooney has fallen.
Yeah. And I told you I couldn't really put up a spirited debate against, you know, starting Cisse over Rooney, even though I would choose Rooney.
I don't think there was any debate if Rooney was still playing in the midfield.
Yeah. That's true. If he was considered a midfielder, yeah.
Yeah. But. No, not even considered. I just mean like if RVP was still there, I don't think you could justify picking Rooney over Cisse last weekend.
Fair. But, you know, I don't want to spend too much on just one matchup here. Let's get to some others. Stoke City are at home against Everton. Everton look completely inept offensively right now. Is Stoke a defense you'd be willing to consider, considering they're coming off a clean sheet themselves?
Yeah, I would definitely consider them, especially at home. We kind of talk about how much stronger they are at home. I think they're a very good team there, and I think they're starting to figure out who their 11 best players are, and they're playing them. And
it also helps that some of them are healthy. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. And I'm not sure Everton are that much better, even on a neutral field.
Yeah, there's. I mean, if you look at it, Everton is only 6 points out of relegation.
Yep. Yeah, it's just weird to me how they have guys. They seem to have guys who know how to score, but they seem to have forgotten how to. You know, they have Lukaku, they have Naismith, who is, I believe, leading them in scoring this year. They have Morales. They never play Barkley. I don't know why they. I don't know what is going on with Barkley.
He refuses just to pass.
I guess. Baines is hurt. Coleman has been a shell of himself.
Yeah. Speaking of Baines, actually, what was his name? Luke Harbit. Excuse me. Matthew Target. Luke.
There you Harbit. Go.
Yes. Okay. Luke Harbit, who played left back for Everton last week, looked really impressive.
Yeah, he did. He was fully filling in for Baines, taking free kicks.
Yeah,
on that side, and he looked good to the point where I IM'd you and I said I think it's time to sell Baines, and you appropriately responded with it's too late.
Yeah, I mean, who's going to pay for him?
Yeah,
and what would you pay for him? Yep. Is it worth selling him?
Yeah, what's interesting too is that you're calling him Harbit. What is it? Is he not English?
He's English.
Yeah, so it's not Garbit.
Oh, yeah, I think, and the announcers, I think, were pronouncing it Harbit or Garbit. I couldn't really catch it, so I don't have the pronunciation book with me.
I would assume it's just Garbit since he's English. They like to pronounce their letters as they are. But anyway, he was only playing because Oviedo was hurt, and Oviedo kind of came out today saying, you know, he's getting close to being fit, and he'd like his spot back, and I'm not sure Garbit should give it to him.
Yeah, I bet you that was timed rather nicely because of Garbit.
Yeah. But so. I don't know, John Stones was really good last year filling in, and he seems to have lost that. There's nobody on this team that I trust on a weekly or season-long basis. Literally nobody. Unless they're playing on a Thursday in, you know,
Istanbul. Or Constantinople.
Constantinople, right.
But it's a tough team to project, and that's why I asked you about Stoke. Would you consider starting at Stoke defensive options?
Yes, I would.
Okay, so that's good news for me in the EFSA because I have Asmir Begovic, so can't complain.
I've got him. All in right. I've got Shawcross and Peters in, or maybe at Bardsley. I got two of them in this Taga Premier Division, whatever they call it. I got two of those guys, and I'll probably start both of them this week.
Yeah, you can't really complain about either one. But we'll go on to West Ham being at home against Chelsea. This is a London derby here, an East London versus West London affair. West Ham took it on the chin last week. they really did.
Yep.
They looked absolutely dominated by Palace. Mm-hmm. And now's not the time to be playing Chelsea because they look to be in lockdown mode, especially defensively. But
nobody has more trophies than Chelsea in the last 3 days.
You were pointing out previously to that, though, an interesting stat about Thibaut Courtois and his lack of ability to get clean sheets.
I did.
Yeah. So do you feel
he didn't get one either? Wasn't it Czech?
Sorry? Yeah, it was Czech.
Yeah.
And do you feel like the leash is still long for Courtois, or is it just they're okay with him letting up one as long as they score two?
Yeah, I think they're fine. And I'm not sure. The goals that he gives up are ones that Cech would stop. You know, it's not like he's getting caught out of position or he's just not big enough because he's humongous. But yeah, I don't think the goals are his fault. And you know, why make a change when you're tops of the league and you won the Samuel L. Jackson Cup?
Because it's Capital One. I understand. I understand what you're talking about. All right. West Ham, though, would you start any West Ham option?
No.
Probably not defensively, but would you start any of the offensive ones? Downing, Sacco, Valencia?
No, I pretty much have stayed away. And coincidentally, as we just say that Chelsea do give up goals, I've pretty much stayed away from offensive players playing Chelsea, regardless of where they're playing. Maybe I would do it if they're, you know, Liverpool at Anfield or...
City.
Yeah, I was gonna say I probably wouldn't. Yeah,
well, City, they're not gonna play City again. They've played.
Well, yeah, but I would have played probably Silva and Torre and Aguero. So, but other than probably those two teams, I stay away.
Yeah, but Chelsea wise, Oscar has been in and out. Basically, if you're not named Hazard or Costa, you haven't really been heard from much in fantasy recently.
Yeah.
Is that going to change anytime soon, you think, or no?
I feel like no, I don't. Cuadrado, I think they're going to, I think Mourinho is going to keep playing him. It's just a matter of whether it drops Oscar or Willian, but I think he might be a little more stable than you're giving him credit for. But other than that, yeah, it's kind of, you know, well, I guess Fabregas too. Did we say Fabregas? I think his spot is pretty safe.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know.
How would you rank the Chelsea midfielders?
This week,
And for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I guess
say the rest of the season, because this week, you know, you can read our rankings on BrotoWire.com/soccer for our weekly rankings, so you can see what we think for this week. But what about the rest of the season?
I would say Hazard, Fabregas, and Cuadrado. Because I think Cuadrado will get
Then Oscar Willian.
Right, right. One more match without Matic.
Well, yeah. Well, Matic isn't a fantasy relevant option most of the time. Yep. So, unfortunate but true.
Yep.
But what did you think though? If Zuma starts getting defensive midfield work, if he gets midfield credit, would you start using him or no?
I don't know, because he's basically playing his same position, but he's getting fewer points for his clean sheet if he's actually becomes a midfielder in fantasy.
Yeah, I don't think he will, but I was just, you know, just
yeah,
a shot.
No, yeah, I think he would have the Matic problem.
Yeah, he would. Yeah. All right, so Tottenham he play, really good, depending on, yeah, he did look really good.
Really good.
Because he's quick.
Yeah.
Tottenham are, depending on which format, they either play once or twice this week.
Oh, we got one more before you go to Saturday. We got Liverpool.
No. We got plenty more before we go to Saturday. But I'm just saying, because on Wednesday, I'm getting to the Tottenham-Swansea matchup.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yep.
But Tottenham play against Swansea on Wednesday, and depending on your format, you may also get the Saturday game between Tottenham and QPR. Mm-hmm. So... you know, a potential double game here. And obviously, when you look at our rankings for the week, you love the Tottenham options because you like both matchups. But let's just stick to this one in particular, just in case you're only getting one game. So, Tottenham, you love Harry Kane. You got to love Christian Eriksen. You even ranked Danny Rose number one this week. Is that only because there's two games, or do you think there's actual value there?
Two games.
Okay.
I would have ranked him anyway, but the two games, I pushed him ahead.
Yeah. And Hugo Lloris.
I like him in both games, actually. Which, well, I still don't love the Swansea attack, and they're not winning games by scoring a lot of goals. But they're playing really well recently, and I was curious what your thought was in terms of players playing against their old teams. Specifically,
I think it's fun for the narrative, but I don't think it has any relevance in fantasy.
So you don't think Sigurdsson has anything extra going this week because he's playing at Tottenham?
Not as much as, let's say, if John Joe Selby plays.
Fair enough.
You know, it's business as usual. It's not anything personal. It's just,
well, sometimes it's personal.
Like, but Sigurdsson wasn't.
Yes.
So it's he wanted to raise his profile, and Swansea obliged. So if anything, he has respect for them. He probably won't celebrate if he scores.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things about soccer.
Can't stand it. celebrate as if, you know, just celebrate, or don't celebrate all the time. It doesn't matter. Just be happy and keep scoring.
Yeah.
But do you like Sigurdsson in this matchup?
The only reason why I kind of like him, and he's coming back from a hamstring injury that kept him out, but Gary Monk said he's fit, is that I don't totally trust Tottenham. Despite my rankings as such, Tottenham and Liverpool are always two teams I really struggle going defensive with because they just always seem to give one up. And Lloris, I believe, is up to 85 saves now, which is an absurd number of saves for a team as good as Tottenham. But I don't know. I'll probably end up staying away from Sigurdsson just because I think there are some better options in his price range in most games. But he also hasn't really produced that well recently. It seems like Jonjo Shelvey is the one to own at this point, or Key even has scored a bunch of goals.
Yeah, Keyson. Yeah. Can't argue with any of those.
I'll tell you, I'm not going Bafétimbi Gomi.
Yeah.
No chance.
Right. Would you go Kyle Naughton? Would you go defensive here or no?
No. No.
Okay.
Not against Harry Kane at home.
Yeah, probably not. But Harry Kane, you obviously love, and everyone should love Harry Kane. He's on fire.
Yep.
Leading goal scorer of 2015.
He is. Yeah. By a long shot too.
Yeah, I think it's nine. Is it nine or ten?
I think it's nine.
All right, but we'll go on to the other team that may be getting double points would be Charlie Austin's QPR, who on Wednesday are at home against Arsenal, so not a great matchup, or against Tottenham later in the week. Do you like Charlie Austin, though? If you were going to get two games.
Yeah, I would definitely play him with two games. No problem at all.
So at home against Arsenal, you think there's a chance he scores?
I don't think... I don't love...
Obviously, there is a chance. You think there's a good chance?
Yeah. I don't love Arsenal's clean sheet possibilities on the road, especially with QPR, who needs all the points they can get, and they only get them at home. And Charlie Austin, I think, is so far ahead as the offensive option that you would select from. I'm not going to go with Nico Kranjčar or Zamora. That you have to go with Austin. And I don't love Arsenal keeping a clean sheet on the road.
Yeah. They haven't proven to be doing it well recently, but they do have, was it eight straight Premier League victories now?
Might be right.
It's seven or eight. But,
might be right.
With that in mind, though, with Ospina, you were talking about this with me earlier. Is Ospina going to start?
Yeah, I don't know. He took a pretty good shot during the during last weekend's game against Everton. Well, it was yesterday, since today is Monday. And he stayed in the game and he was fine and Chesney didn't warm up at all, but I feel
he
like
he had some weird breathing exercises.
Yeah, very, very strange. And I feel like this is an appropriate time to give him a rest, just because it would be a classic Arsenal to overlook QPR and then throw Chesney back in there. But it seems like Ospina is not going to give this job up, which I think is what Arsene Wenger was hoping he would do. And while he's not, they're not shutting out everybody, they're playing well enough, aside from that Monaco debacle, that I think Ospina keeps the job. But if Chesney starts this week, his price has been appropriately depressed in most weekly games because he's not starting. So I would, despite thinking that Arsenal probably doesn't shut them out, I think they do win. And so I think Chesney would be a decent play.
Yeah. All right. And we'll move on to the last game of the midweek here, which is Liverpool against Burnley, hottest team of 2015, Liverpool. And one of the hottest players in Danny Ings. They meet head-to-head here at Anfield. Would you start Danny Ings?
I started him last weekend and didn't really watch much of the game. And from my research...
Like most Burnley games.
What's that?
Like most Burnley games, you don't watch most of them.
Well, I actually try to catch a few because of Danny Ings, but yes, I didn't catch this one. And thanks to my friend, I believe it's Luis, on Twitter.
Luis Pacheco.
Yeah. He told me that Swansea basically just parked the bus to stop Ings, and that seems to be an appropriate plan when you want to stop Burnley. And consequently, I'm not sure Liverpool is going to do that, though. They're much more interested in just scoring now. And, the three-man back line has been pretty well. Even Dejan Lovren has looked good with them. So I would consider Ings, but there are a number of names in front of them that I would prefer.
Yeah, including many of the, would you, let's say if Daniel Sturridge starts, you'd probably start him, correct?
Yeah, no problem at all there. I think he does start. I think they're just trying to kind of ease him back in without overplaying him. And he played, I think it was 100, and, I don't think he went the full 120. No, he didn't. But he went 105 on Thursday in that against Besiktas. So it was understandable that he didn't start against Man City.
Well, we anticipate him coming back for that. And Raheem Sterling has looked great. And we've argued about this a little bit. What are your thoughts on Felipe Coutinho, excuse me.
Yeah, I think he's a great option, I think. The problem, you know, obviously is you're depending on wonder goals because he pretty much, he's like Shelvey. He only scores from 30 yards out, but he's playing really well right now, and he's always seems to be involved. So I like him a lot more than you do.
Yeah, I don't think he's that great for fantasy. I think he's very overrated. Maybe in real life he's better because he finds pockets of space and he tends to do well in them. But I'm not overly impressed with his fantasy outlooks because he doesn't assist enough. And like you said, the goals he scored are not repeatable most of the time. Mm-hmm. So they're one percenters. You know, if you try them 100 times, he'll make them once.
Right. I think I made that joke relatively recently that the goal that he had against Man or who did they play before Man City where he had that other wonder strike, whoever it was. And I said something like how he makes that 1 in 1,000 times, and he's definitely tried it 1,000 times.
Exactly. Exactly. It's not for the lack of trying.
Right.
But you know, for Burnley though, for Liverpool, for their midfield, other than Sterling, would you start Coutinho this week?
Yeah, I would consider Coutinho. I'd consider Adam Lallana. I think Lallana's been playing really well. He had a few shots at goal.
Oh, that volley! City that volley that hit that went in, but it was offside, even though it was very close. So offside.
Well, I think
because he was even with the ball.
Yeah,
that was.
I still don't know how it went in, and I love when that happens. That you're just like geometrically, that shouldn't work.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think he's finally fit, and he seems to have earned that spot now. So I like it.
All right, so let's see who's earned spots for us, though, in our daily dose, our Mondo goal for this midweek here. We're doing Tuesday and Wednesday format. I wound up actually spending the entire 100% of the budget. How much of the budget did you spend? Did you spend 100% or?
99.9.
Very good. All right, so our teams are definitely going to be different, so let's start with you and your back four.
I went very cheaply in my back four just because I wanted to spend money up front. So I went with Hugo Lloris at $6 million just after I said that.
You don't trust him. Okay.
I don't trust him, but at $6 million is so much cheaper than options that are not nearly as good as him that I think the risk is worth it. I mean, I'm not going to pay $7.9 for Lucas Fabianski or $7.5 for Brad Friedel. Joking, since he obviously not going to play. But anyway, with Lloris
will start over Brad Friedel.
Well, yeah, exactly.
The only thing Brad Friedel does is talk to DeAndre Yedlin on the bench.
Yeah, and say things about Tim Howard behind his back. But we may have some similar defenders since we were putting our teams together before we started taping this. But I went with the Man City center back combo of Kompany and Mangala, either of which can be easily replaced for a likely cheaper Demichelis. I just like the clean sheet opportunity home against Leicester. I don't think they're going to do anything offensively. And then, Kompany's at 5'8", Mangala's at 6'3", and then I added a guy that you discovered as we were talking, Dejan Lovren at 5'9".
Yep. All right, so I have three of the four of the same. Yep. I have Kompany, I have Lloris, and I have Lovren. And my last one is Eric Dier to pair with Hugo Lloris at 6'1".
6'1", I had him earlier on and changed it, but I don't know. That, you know, he's another center back who's probably not going to do anything, even though he led them in scoring less for the first 2 months of the season.
That's right.
Before Harry Kane got his starting job.
Yep. Yeah, before Danny Rose came back. Mm-hmm. Or Kyle Walker. I think Walker.
All of them.
Kyle Walker was healthy. But, same reason. I didn't spend that much money there, so I think this is about 20%, something like that. 6 times 4 is 24. So 24%, 25%. All right, but we'll move on here to the midfield four. So I have Christian Eriksen at 10.3. Adam Lallana, it looks like 9.9. Victor Moses at 9.5. And Mesut Ozil at 13.3. Did I sweep it? Did I sweep you? Did we have all four the same?
No, we didn't. And one guy who I know you don't particularly like that I keep going with is Dusan Tadic, who I got at 7.1.
And all he does is get in the way of El Hero Elia.
That certainly seems to be your opinion on it.
Go ahead.
I had originally gone with... There we go. I had originally set up my team around Eden Hazard, which is why I ended up with such a cheap back line, because I needed the money to spend at Hazard. And then I started building my team and realized that at 18.3, it's like almost prohibitive to get him. It's just
like I said, anything more than 15 is too hard. Like 15% on one person when you have to fill, you know, 10 other spots.
Right.
Or sorry, 9 other spots. It's hard.
Yeah. So I went with Tadic. I went with Moses. I went with Ozil. Ozil, I may still change out for Fabregas, who's much cheaper. And knowing me, I will change my entire team after that. But and I also picked Raheem Sterling at 13.8.
Oh wow.
I had actually.
So you have Tadic, Ozil, and Sterling. Raheem Sterling. Okay.
And Moses. Yeah. That's where I went. And if I end up changing Ozil for either Ozil for Eriksen or Ozil for, who did I say just before?
Fabregas.
Or Fabregas, then that'll give me roughly $1.5 million to $2 million more. And knowing me, I'll change everyone. But before I do that, I'll go into my strikers. I went with Diego Costa at 11.2, which is still
too cheap.
Way too cheap.
They refuse to believe in his 17 goals.
He has been a little slow of late.
Oh, I mean, the fact that he hasn't been playing recently because three-match suspension doesn't help.
That doesn't help, correct. I considered Olivier Giroud at 11.2, but I went with Wayne Rooney at 11.8 because he's back.
Oh, now he's back. Okay.
Well,
he's back. Anyway, yes, keep going.
Well, he's back in the position. We always said if he moved back up, we would play him.
Yeah.
And 11.8 is absurdly cheap when
I agree.
Lukaku's 13.5. And then I threw in Edin Dzeko at 8.4, who I thought was a decent price.
So you saved the money on Dzeko and spent it on a midfielder, and I actually went. So I have Costa and Rooney as well.
Yeah.
Which is no surprise. I love both. And I went with Papi Cisse at 10.3.
Wow.
I'm buying in to the whole goals per 90 minutes, and now the new manager wants to play him 90 minutes a game.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
It's basically one of those picks where I pick the player and I don't watch and I hope for the best in the box score.
Yeah.
Because watching Newcastle play is so difficult.
Yeah.
But for some reason, there's always one thing that breaks to him and he tends to put it in. Even if he's at the far touchline and he has to put about 20 meters of curve on it over Cech's head and into the far post with the wind. Do you remember that goal?
No, I don't.
Last year he scored a goal against Chelsea where he was pretty much, you know, at the 18-yard extended at the touchline. And he just hits a ball and it looks like a cross, but it just goes into the net. And Cech just looked at it and he had no chance. About 20. Anyway, those things just tend to happen for Cisse. It's kind of ridiculous, but what can you do? I'm finally buying into him.
Fair enough. The guy I'm not buying in, and I'd like to just state this, that I think I'm done with Santi Cazorla.
Oh, also welcome news for me.
Yeah. Well, you were bashing him when he was scoring 3 goals and had 2 assists in about 3 days, so I'm not going to give you credit for this one, but I think Ozil is finally taking
it. I did say that fearing the rotation, because when everyone gets healthy, I don't think he's going to be that great.
Yeah, I'm just saying he scored like 12 goals after you said that. But now he's finally slowing down, so yes, you nailed it.
Speaking of nailing it, that's the end of this podcast. I thank you so much for joining us here on the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. As always, you can catch us on iTunes. I believe we're on Stitcher now as well. And also just check out our stuff at rotowire.com/soccer. There's a lot of free stuff up there and it's all pretty amazing. So check us out there and here as well. And we'll catch you not next weekend, but the weekend after, right?
That's right.
All right, we'll catch you then. So, talk to you in about 10 days.
That's good.
For more great content, go to rotowire.com/soccer. It's all free and it's all for you.